Do you ever find yourself in a scroll on Instagram and for some reason the algorithm is pulling the most perfect moms with the most aesthetically pleasing homes who are absolutely killing the homeschool game all while looking absolutely fantastic? And then you jump off the scroll to look up at the disheveled room you're in, instantly remembering the next thing you needed to do on your to-do list, all while avoiding the mirror, because today is just not the day you're fitting in a hair and makeup sesh. Or moms, which of us hasn't struggled over important decisions like which route of school choice to make for our kids, or my goodness, how to handle sibling conflicts that seem never ending, or what in the world are we doing wrong for our child to respond so disrespectfully anymore? I mean, let's be honest, just coming across a breaking news post, or dare I say, turning on the nightly news, can cause us to lose a breath or two and look around us wondering where the goodness and hope is in the world. The mental gymnastics we partake in every day as moms is impressive and exhausting. Where do we turn to in moments like these? Where do we take ourselves in sorrow, defeat, exhaustion, and confusion? Let's talk about it, Mama. Welcome to the Mom Life Community Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Well, here we are, moms. If you're listening to this shortly after publishing, it is Holy Week and Easter is on Sunday. And I can't think of a more appropriate time than for us as moms to talk through some of these challenges that I just mentioned a moment ago. This really is an opportune time to reflect, remember, and revive our affections for the Lord. Or perhaps you're a mom that's still looking for this hope in a lost and broken world. Maybe you're still seeking where you can anchor yourself in this season of motherhood you're in, where each day it could maybe feel like you're slipping more and more into, anger or frustration. You just can't seem to get a hold on things. Where are we supposed to look? What are we supposed to do? Well, moms, we have been designated to live in a time in history when the places that we can look for some of this hope can really be around every corner. And for some of us, this is quite literal. We can think, if I can just get to the next cup of coffee. And so if you live any similarly to where I live, there is literally a Dunkin' on every corner. And if there's not a Dunkin' there, there's probably a Starbucks. So, we can be tempted by that. If I can just get that cup of coffee, I will be okay. If I join that gym that fit mom at the bus stop goes to, that'll be my answer. If I could get away on a girls' trip, or hey, even just an afternoon alone, I'll be refreshed and good to go. I personally relate to that one a lot because most often I am literally never alone. And as an introvert, it can feel like I'm running on E if I'm not intentional to go to where refreshment for my soul can really be found. We can feel like, well, if I have a full handle on, what is going on in the world, if I can get an understanding of what just happened in the world and get more information, I can make the best decisions to keep everyone out of trouble, out of harm's way. So I'll just hop on my phone for just a second to see if there's an update on this or that. Can anyone relate to this? I know I can. The ability to consume information is easier, more accessible, and dare I say, as unhealthy as it has ever been in all of history. According to a report by the University of California, San Diego, the average American consumes about 34 gigabytes of data and information every day. Now, if you are not a tech person like me, I don't know what that quite means. I just know my phone has a certain amount of gigabytes, and I just always pray that there's enough to keep all of the pictures that I want to keep. Anyway, so what does that mean? It means it's an estimated equivalent of 100,000 words heard or read every day, or about how many words are in J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. That's a lot. That is a lot. Exhaustion is real, moms, and it can happen all without our realizing. And in this sacred week of the year, I want us to turn our attention to that which is truly refreshing, re-energizing, and ministering to the deepest place of our being. My family and I, we attend a passion play at Easter time every year. If you listen to my Observing Lent episode, I believe I mentioned this, but we just went to this play this past weekend, and we enjoyed the show once again. The first time I saw the show, it was done in one way. And in the past few years, including this year, they changed things up a little. And same Holy Week events happened, but some of the leading up to Bible passages that they acted out were different. But anyway, it's all based in scripture, and I knew when the show started that it was basically going to be what I saw last year, and it was great, it was wonderful, and I literally knew like what was going to happen and what was going to be said before it was said. But let me tell you, just like last year, I couldn't help but have tears flow as I witnessed just an ordinary man portraying a man who really walked this earth 2,000 years ago and endured the most painful, humiliating, agonizing, and excruciating end of life with the most selfless purpose. I need to back us up a little, though, because, you know, Jesus wasn't a one-and-done viral post pastor. He wasn't born on Christmas and then preached a few feel-good sermons about loving our neighbors when he was an adult, and then show us communion and then die on the cross. We've got actual books that tell us what happened before that. And here's what's so incredible for us as moms. There's so much evidence that shows Jesus's heart for you, that shows Jesus's heart for women, particularly those who may not be seen as, good enough in their society. And so the Passion Play, one of the moments that they portrayed before leading up to the Last Supper was Jesus's meeting of the woman at the well. Jesus decided to do some very politically incorrect things in the meeting of this woman. This meeting can be read about in chapter 4 of the book of John. First on the scene at noon is a worn out Jesus who is in Sychar in Samaria, and he's resting by a well as he pauses his travels. And starting in verse 7, we read, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. 'Give me a drink,' Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She asked him. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Let me pause here really quick because, moms, we can relate to the Samaritan woman over and over in this story. And here is a place that I see. So first of all, to gain some context, the fact that she is coming to the well alone in the heat of the day tells us that she was essentially an outcast and that others didn't want to associate with her. Additionally, here, she is thinking in a very practical sense, which will continue as we read more about this interaction with Jesus. But I know for me, especially as it relates to prayer, I can get very caught up in the practicals of life, the earthly things. If you listened to our episode on praying for and with our kids, we go into this in more detail, but essentially, as we increase our interaction with Almighty God, we gain spiritual eyes to see the things that matter. But I know when I think about it and reflect on it and see this woman doing the same thing, I can be like, wow, I can just get really caught up in like the here and now, what's going on, what can I see before me, and forgetting that God always, since the beginning of time, has had a much bigger picture than any of us can ever imagine. So, okay, let's keep reading. So verse 12, she said, you aren't greater than our father Jacob. He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. Go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. I don't have a husband, she answered. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said, for you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Sir, the woman replied, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus told her, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Just reading it again can get a little emotional, but I mean, this is huge. Jesus brought revelation of him being the Messiah, the Savior, to this woman, a foreign single woman who had five husbands and was now living with a man who was not her husband. This was the one Jesus chose to bring a town in Samaria to him so that they could say, we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. we read that in verse 42. I mean, we have to think about it. This woman was not some well-educated, strong leader Pharisee like Nicodemus that Jesus had literally just spoken to the chapter before. How incredible is this? I mean, it should bring so much hope to us. Not that we can know who Jesus is and continue in our sin, no, but rather that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In another passage, we hear Jesus making it clear that just as a doctor doesn't treat the healthy, likewise, the Son of Man came for sinners. Can you recall who you were before Jesus rescued you? For me, I remember an anxious, selfish, easily worried person who sought control over all the things I could possibly control. And I found my hope in my religion and doing things as rightly as I could. And then when God so graciously allowed me to get to know who he really was, as the words of scripture jumped off the pages and into my heart, and I came into fellowship with him, not because of anything that I was doing or what box I was checking, but all because of what he did for me thousands of years before I even came into existence. That type of love, that true love, is found only in Jesus. And I feel so strongly that this time of year is the best time to be remembering this. You know, we can become so familiar with the cross. You know, we can forget the experience that Jesus had. We can look at that cross with too much familiarity and it doesn't hit anymore unless I intentionally reflect. And, you know, if you're listening to this, Good Friday is coming up. And I know for me, it's just a good time to dive back into remembering exactly what Jesus did. And so, you know, all of our shortcomings as moms, you know, every mistake we've made and will make, they can feel like a lot. Every conflict with our husbands that led to disrespect, every time we've allowed envy or jealousy of other moms consume us, every time we've let worry and anxiety consume us to the point of insomnia, there is a man that also happens to be God, that paid the price for all of this, who left paradise and set aside his rightful place of glory to be born into rags, live a life free of modern day conveniences, live perfectly every day of his life, to be arrested, killed, and most unimaginably separated from his Father, who he is otherwise in perfect union with. All for you and for me and for every one of our kids and for every one of our husbands and for the hard to love family member and for the less than pleasant fellow driver on the road. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to earth for a purpose that only he could carry out, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. I was at a birthday party this past weekend, and I'm at a stage in life still that no matter where I go, I have a baby with me because we're nursing and, you know, it's just the nature of it. And it's great. I love it. So my oldest had a party and his little brother tagged along. And he's a really good conversation piece, as you can imagine. And so it's just easy to bring up kids. And so at the party was the grandmom of the birthday boy. And she was just asking about, so you have a you have an older son and you have a baby, and asking about any others. And so yeah, I said, yeah, we have a few others. And eventually it led to revealing we have five. And then the next question usually goes to boys, girls, you know, and no, we have all boys. And usually their reaction is the same. And, and, you know, she looked at me and said, five boys, you're so calm. And, you know, I chuckled because, I have only one answer to that. And that is, it is by the grace of God that I am at all calm, but I can assure you that I am not always calm. And, you know, it's just a good reminder to give God the glory in those situations. First of all, that if there's any good anyone sees in me, it's just because God has worked on that. And it's just to his glory that anyone can see any good. And, you know, as moms, there can be so many opportunities for us to lose our cools. And in a lot of ways, it's just kind of accepted. You know, in our world just can be seen as just the nature of the job per se. And there's some truth to that, that there's just frustration waiting around the corner in motherhood. But when we look at our children, for the blessings that they are a gift from God, that we are given the task to steward their hearts, to shepherd them to the Lord, you know, it almost, it puts all of that into perspective. You know, what am I getting frustrated about with their sin? Because I'm a sinner too. I need Jesus as much as they do. And so putting our hope into Jesus really can restructure our perspective on how we are looking at motherhood. And so during this Holy Week, it is worth restating that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to this earth for a purpose that only he could carry out, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. This is hope. This is where we can put our trust in that which is unseen. And this is where the spring of faith can give us refreshment and endurance in this race of motherhood, in the little years and beyond. So moms, as we put together those Easter egg hunts and those Easter baskets that get a lot of our attention, I pray that you have those times, that you prioritize them to be with Jesus, to remember everything that he has done for us, and to let that be our motivation into all that we do for the rest of this week. Well, moms, here at the Mom Life Community Podcast, we know and believe that every mom has a story, and we can't wait to hear yours. Talk to you soon, friends.